nice. I like that intro. What's up, guys? TruckDriver101.com. So let's get down to business. Now, finishing up training was pretty simple. I was pretty much struggling with shifting. I was struggling with everything, really. I stalled the truck one time, three or four times at a light. I mean, I am struggling. I'm down. I'm going to work every. I'm going to truck driving school, listening to the best music I could find, which is Champion Nelly. That was my theme music. Champion Nelly, you can look that up. It's a rap song. And I was listening to that every day, you know. And I just started, you know, giving it my all. To make a long story short, I'm not going to go into everything, but I'm going to break down the end of my training. So we went through the driving part. Everybody in the truck I was in knew how to drive, but I didn't know how to drive. So I was all alone. You know, it really felt bad. It was the worst. They designed this the worst way possible because the only other two guys who had never driven a truck were in the other truck. You know, so they had all these pros and my dumb ass, you know, so I felt like a complete fucking idiot. However, once I saw when we started taking our practice test, this is when you get off the road, you do the road for about, you do the road every day until you graduate. Well, until about your fourth or fifth week. And then that's it. During that time, we started doing practice tests. We come in the morning, do our pre-trips. Then you go out on the road, you come back, do your pre-trip again, your post-trip, I guess, or your pre-trip, and you just keep going over it again and again and again. Now, the fifth week, we started doing practice tests on the road and practice tests in the yard. Once we did practice tests on the road and the yard, I started doing really well. I got cocky. You know, I'm like, I got this. You know, they don't know me. You know, I forgot all about them four times I stalled the truck in a row at a stoplight. Right, I was a genius. I was amazing. Right, they ain't never seen a trucker like me. and it ain't just me. We all talking big shit because we going to change the game. Right, because you got to understand, in 04, we had a boom in trucking like never before. We had a boom in trucking. You had people buying semi-trucks. There was a guy who bought two brand new semi-trucks and had just graduated from school. And all the trainers were telling us, don't do that. You know, that's a bad idea. But I mean, we were, you know, we was like, we're finna change the world, baby. You know, right. So first test, you know, I jumped up. I volunteered. I was the first, right? Because I'm finna change the world, baby. Right. And what do you think happened? Yeah, I crashed and burned, baby. How it worked was what you had to do was you had to do your pre-trip inspection. If you miss, I think, one thing on your pre-trip inspection, I think it's either like one or two things, you didn't get out of the yard. That was an automatic fail, and you had to pay the next time to take your test. Now, the way that worked was the first test was free. That was part of your admission fee, your tuition. The next test cost you $250 or $150, and then the next test was full price. I think that was like $325 or $250. So that's how it went. So I had to pay $250 to retake my test. I wasn't the only one, also because, like I said, once I got out of this truck full of all these guys who knew how to drive, I started getting into this truck with a lot of people who didn't, you know, find out a lot of other guys were in the same boat I was. And it got cocky just like I did, because one of the things, the bad part about having a practice test is you start to get really good at practice tests because you're repeating the same thing. We drive on the same track and you know, go around the school. And when I say track, what it was in Detroit, we've got a lot of abandoned factories. And you got highways that lead to those factories. Those factories are gone, but some of those highways still lead by where the front door, the entrance of those factories used to be. So during that, you know, you got a big field over here, and a big field over here, and you drive down the street, then it connects to a main street, and you make a left, and then you just do that, and you ride into a big box. And that's all you had to do. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't super hard, you know, but you had to really, really focus on what you want to do. Now, after my dumb ass got all cocky like everybody did, and we failed because, you know, as always, you know, you think you can do all this stuff and then you're by yourself, right? There's no guy sitting there going, man, Ken, you missed this, or Jay, you missed this, or, you know, none of that. That's all gone, you know. So the second time, I went hard. I studied as much as possible. I looked into everything, you know, I started backing up every day because after you do your 5 weeks, you can leave. You don't have to come back and you got enough because Warner and many trucking companies back then started requiring that you have a certain amount of hours. And those hours were, I think it was like 370 something hours and of training. And so I had those 370 hours, but my problem was I didn't pass the test yet. And other guys were in the same boat. So we all took our tests. So I think two guys passed. I think little homie did pass, and the young cat passed. The Arab guy failed, and I failed. I think it was and the African guy failed, I think. No, the African guy passed, and little homie didn't pass, something like that. But we all ended up taking our test again. And this time when we took our test, I passed, and everybody did. The day I took my test was the worst day of the year. It was like a half a foot of snow on the ground. People were walking in the street. We had to cut, you know, the track a little bit short because there were places where the plows hadn't gone. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I wasn't even sure they were going to test that day because it was so bad. But they did. They tested everybody, and it was great. You know, I tested out, and that was it. And I ended up having one of the hardest trainers. And as usual, when I looked at it, you know, when I looked at it back then, I thought, oh, it's this hard trainer, you know. But he was one of the best trainers there, because my man said something to me that made me really good at backing up, which is he said, you know, he drew a figure eight, and then he drew some lines on the figure eight, and then he drew a handle. And he said, you see this? And I said, yeah. He says, what does this look like? I said, it looked like a double-barrel shotgun. He says, yep, it's a double-barrel shotgun. And there's a guy next, every time you back up, there's a guy in his truck with a double-barrel shotgun. And the minute you hit his truck, he going to come out and unload that double-barrel shotgun in your ass. And I thought, I was like, yeah, he's right. He's like, you got to control this truck at all times. There are no excuses on the road. Right, this shit is all on you. And you got to understand, trainers back then, you have so many rumors. You know, you have the rumor that all your tickets are going to be paid for by your company. They're going to have a psychological test, and then they're going to determine your trainer. Bunch of bullshit. Okay? That doesn't happen. All right? What happens is you got to toughen up, suck it up, and control this truck at all times. And it's like once that sunk in my head, it was on. And so the second time I took my test, I passed everything. I passed everything. So, and everybody else did pass too. So, like I said, at that point, driver placement told us they had some actual great local jobs lined up. But here's the catch. A lot of these guys, they're going to give you 2 weeks of training. They're not going to take your taxes out. You're going to be an independent contractor, which can be illegal in some cases, depending on how it's set up. And pretty much, it's going to be hell because you're in traffic every day. And if you make a mistake in traffic every day, you're not going to be in the middle of nowhere. You know, if you go too fast and there's miles of land in front of you, you can, you know, avoid an accident because you can go left or right because you're on a big 4-lane highway. If you're in the middle of downtown Detroit, it's not going to happen, right? If you're, you know, driving around in the middle of the interstate and you look on your map, you see a low clearance, you can avoid that low clearance. But if you're driving around in Chicago in the city or Detroit in the city in a lot of the older industrial areas, a lot of those places don't have marked low clearances. You know, it's serious. When you skip being an over-the-road driver, you cheat yourself. You cheat yourself because you've put a lot of pressure on being a local driver and with very little experience. And a lot of the accidents you could have may not be anything to do with you. You know, some drunk driver could hit you. You know, all types of things. And depending on how it happens, the hours of service and all those other things in trucking, somebody could try to blame it on you. You know, my trainer, Larry, he ended up having an accident where a car came off the road, or it's like a bridge, you know, going across the freeway. A car came off that bridge, down the embankment, or the little separation between the highway and freeway, you know, that little embankment there, went through his trailer, hit the medium, and exploded. Screwed up his back. That is still on his record to this day, and it says, if he's still driving, and it says unavoidable accident, which is complete bullshit. This is when they started doing that, where they discount all your accidents. Even though this happened, he had a problem getting jobs because of it, which is weird. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but part of that was the old world meeting the new world. Today, you wouldn't have that problem, but just to describe the difficulty sometimes in being a local driver. And he wasn't local, but I'm just saying that, you know, on a Friday night, could happen to a local driver a million times over. I mean, so do over the road if you're a rookie, at least for 3 months. You know, that way you can master the truck and be in the middle of nowhere and have less potential for accidents. Excuse me. Now, I finished everything. Just to cut shit short, I finished everything. Tested out on the worst day of the year. Was excited. Took my picture, my celebration picture, smile, put my big smile on. And then I went over the road with Warner Enterprises. Went over the road with Warner Enterprises, I think it was December 1st. I pretty much went out there and started, you know, driving with a guy. Let's call him Jay, I don't remember his name. And he was a complete asshole. And he pretty much had me driving all night. First night we was on the road, he picks me up in the hotel, 3 o'clock in the morning. Back then, truck drivers, you know, you're a rookie driver, you could drive at 3 o'clock in the morning, believe it or not, yes, you could. It was a company rule that you couldn't. Now it's supposedly, last time I trained, it was supposedly a law now that says rookies can't drive at midnight. I don't know if that's true. But, yeah, so anyway, I'm driving at 3 o'clock in the morning, midnight. We're in mountains. I think we're coming down in Kentucky. And I'm like, holy shit, you know. And so we pull up at a truck stop. I barely know how to get in this goddamn place. I'm shifting horribly because it's the first day in this truck. This guy's half asleep, not paying attention. And I'm stressed. We pull up in the truck stop. I think we're going to deliver a load or something. He's like, no. We're going to wait here, and then we're going to Freightliner. So we go to sleep, get up in the morning, we go up to Freightliner. Freightliner doesn't have the parts we're looking for. He doesn't have a bed on the top bunk. He only has a bottom bunk bed. Excuse me. The truck smells like cat piss. The people who had this truck before him had birds and cats and dogs in the truck. They didn't clean up behind them. They pissed and shit everywhere. This is what's called a recovery truck. Back in the day, I don't know if they do it today. Back in the day, Warner would give you an option. Recovery truck or wait for a new truck. He didn't like new trucks for some stupid reason. So he wanted an old truck. So he got an old truck. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. If you see a truck that's a year old or a truck that's brand new, take the year old one because it's going to be in better condition because all the bugs have been worked out. However, what has changed is when you say recovery truck. A recovery truck is when somebody's gotten pissed off at Warner and they have pissed and shit and spit and done all types of nasty stuff to the truck. When he got in his truck, first of all, he couldn't even sit in it because it was so much cat shit and dirt and debris and bird shit and just nasty. Nasty. He couldn't even get in the truck. He had to get a cab, go to a Walmart, get cleaning supplies, and clean out the truck, which was parked in a grocery store, I think it was. And he had to clean it out just to get in the goddamn truck. Then he threw the top mattress out, the bottom mattress out. When he took it to the terminal, they only had one mattress. So he took that mattress and made that the bottom mattress. And then him and his wife scrubbed this truck down and still could not get the cat piss smell out of the truck. That's how bad it was. So Jay comes, picks me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right, like I said, truck smells like cat piss. There's no top bunk. He's going to sleep on the top bunk since there's no top bunk, feeling guilty about it. And so that's what he does. The problem me and him started to have was it felt like from the beginning, I was the anchor guy. Normally, when you're in training, the trainer is the anchor. What that means is, at nighttime driving, he's the one pushing it. That's the anchor time when you're running teams. At Warner, they had a suggested 2 weeks. Back then, this is 04. 2 weeks, and then you are a team. They didn't do that back then. I mean, you were a team from the beginning, right? Which made big checks, baby. So anyway, you know, me and him ain't getting along. He is not really training me. He is not really helping me. I'm pretty much learning by just practicing and doing shit myself. Every night he can't sleep because he used to be Family Dollar. Family Dollar, for those who don't know, generally they get up, they pick up their load, they go to their destination, they go to sleep. They unload in the morning, they get back on the highway, and they repeat the process. They do this 2 to 3 times a week, 4 times a week, whatever. That's what they do. All of a sudden, he put himself in a position where he had to go over the road because he got in an argument with his dispatcher, like a fool. So now he's learning, he's regretting this because his body, his stamina is not made for it. His students would drive to where, you know, he would give his students a choice. He'd say, you could either drive, right, do most of the driving, or you can unload and do some of the driving. Most of the students would do all the driving, and they would stop every night, and he spent most of his 10 hours sleep. And his students would be home every weekend, and he would be home every weekend. After he told his dispatcher to go fuck himself, he ended up doing over the road, which meant he was out for 2 or 3 weeks. It was causing stress in his marriage, causing stress, you know, his life. He couldn't sleep. So now I'm stressed, right? Riding around with old dum-dum here. So this is where I always tell you guys, do research before you just jump up and quit something. So anyway, we're doing a Sara Lee account, refrigerator account. He never taught me how to set the refrigerator. He never taught me how to do anything, really. I'm pretty much, you know, learning to get into these places and everything by myself. I never back up. Backed up twice. And that was it. At some point, went to a head. We got into an argument. I left. Told him to go fuck himself and left. After leaving, I ended up, I had a choice. I was in Kentucky. I could go to the Atlanta terminal and get another trainer, or I go home. I went home. Yep, because that choice, they wanted me to go to Atlanta, and I wanted to go home. So that's how the choice was made. I went home. Went home, chilled for a while. Like I said, I was a young, dumb cat with a lot of debt in my pocket called credit cards. And I knew I could live off my credit cards for 6 months, 3-4 months. So I did. I said I lived off my credit cards for 3 or 4 months. After that, after old dummy was a dummy, dummy realized this ain't working. So I decided to get back into the game and recommit to trucking. How that happened was I had gotten a job at a temp place. Not a temp place. It was a temporary job for the holiday. And I was working with a bunch of illegal Mexicans. I think I talked about this before. And I was just, you know, I remember just thinking about going back there after I had left. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I am never, ever going back. I wasn't going back there. I wasn't going back to that place. I wasn't going to find a place like that. I was not going to go back to cutting meat. I was going to commit to this truck driver thing. And so I didn't go. I wasn't going really back to that place, but it was a place like it. It was basically the same goddamn place. But I was like, yep, I'm done with that. So I went back to trucking. This time, you know, everything was amazing because I know the system, okay? I understand every single aspect of this game now. So this time, one bag, everything in a bag. When I first went to training, I had a bunch of suitcases and a bunch of stuff. Stupid. One bag and everything fits in that one bag. Soft bag so you can sleep on it. Right, because there's not a lot of room in the truck, despite what you might believe. So you want one bag, put everything in that bag, sleep on that bag, use it as your pillow, and it's amazing. Right? Two, a lot of trucks, sometimes their radio doesn't work, or the trainer doesn't want you touching his radio. That's fine. Bought me some headphones. Bought me a CD player. Right? I said CD player because back then I didn't have enough money for an iPod at that time. So I had burned through all my savings and money in debt, and I had a little bit of money left. So pretty much now I got thousands of dollars of debt, tens of thousands of dollars of debt. I have got to grind and fight my way out of this. So I go back. This time, everything's fast. because I only got 160 hours to do. I'm only going to be with a trainer for about a month, month and a half, and probably not even that, because we were running really hard. I was probably with that guy maybe a month. I literally got out there. You know, my new trainer, let's use the word Larry. We're going to give him a name. Let's say Larry, my brother's name, actually Larry. But we're going to use that name. Larry had some serious family issues. He was really, really, really a horrible trainer. Well, no, I take that back. He wasn't a horrible trainer. He was a horrible, horrible, horrible home life guy. I mean, he had a horrible home life. His son was a gangbanging, pretty much thug. Not gangbanging, though, but would do violent stuff to people and then expect to get away with it. And basically, courts were getting tired of him and they were starting to put him in jail. So, this is his stepson. And his stepson had gotten into a fight with him and he had been knocked unconscious. So, this is the stupidity going on. His stepson fought him because he was yelling and screaming at his mother. And so, all this drama is going on. And I'm in the middle of it. Ain't this grand? So, now that I'm in the middle of this bull, right, I'm dealing with this silliness, this person, and his drama. Of course, he invites me. When I first meet him, he's like, hey, why don't you come to the house and, you know, and help me put this pool together? And I say, okay, Larry, I'll come to the house, put your pool together. Yep. No, it's hell. It's hell. The guy that we're calling, we'll say, Larry, was horrible. His pool was this kind of country pool that you had to re-put, and we had to get down on our hands and knees in 90-degree weather and scrub it. Now, the good part is, his wife was a good cook. The bad part was, well, there's some things that happened later. It's like, as in, they got in the argument so bad one day that she decided to steal the 22 in the house and basically said, I'm keeping the 22. And from now on, if you threaten me or say anything wrong to me that I don't like, I will shoot you. And now I'm sitting there like, I need to get the fuck out of here. This happens on the phone when I'm halfway through my training. Claire is not keeping his money right. My trainer, his money is always fucked up. Always fucked up. His money is fucked up. I mean, every week he's selling his stuff out of the truck. We're at truck stops. He's calling on the CB because he would spend $200 to $300 a week on McDonald's. Even though if his wife, who, you know, was going to shoot him, was basically spending all his money. He was spending all this money for extra life insurance. He was spending all this money for her son who couldn't stay out of jail and who had knocked him unconscious. He was spending a bunch of money for back taxes on the house that her and her first husband had. He was spending tons of money. I mean, every week he was making, you gotta understand, he lived in the middle of nowhere. Every week he was making, we was running 3M, and we were running hard. We would either run a load of glue in, or we would run a load of residue. Residue, what I mean with residue is that after they take the vats of glue, they take it out. Technically, it has residue in it. And that residue is considered toxic waste, and it's still supposed to be placarded. So we would placard it, and we would take it to a facility where I guess they would clean it out. And that also paid very well. And so that's what we did all day. We take glue from, you know, from Missouri to, I want to say Illinois. I can't remember exactly where. And then from Illinois, we go down to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta, we go back to Missouri. And we would just run. Every place you went to, you had to stop and do an orientation because it was a hazmat facility. And they had an orientation so you know what's going on and how they do stuff and what happens if you hear an alarm and how dangerous the glue was. Which the glue wasn't that dangerous. There'd just be a lot of fumes. But what really killed me one day is Andrew. I mean, Sorry, that was his real name, Andrew. But Andrew went in the back of the trailer. Andrew, I just use his real name, Andrew, went to the back of the trailer. He literally opens the door and almost passes out. This is the first 3 days with him this happens. I'm kind of jumping back and forth. But during this time, I didn't realize this dude has asthma. And so when these fumes hit him, he really literally almost dies. So, and I'm like, so he got this screwed up family. He's got, you know, this drama going on. He's borrowing money from me. Because really, at this point, I'm, like I said, I got 160-something hours left. By the first, the end of the first week, I did 70 hours of that already, okay? The next week, I did most of those hours already. Third or fourth week, I am done with this dude, okay? I know this, right? So I'm like, I just want to get this shit done. I want to get it over with. I want to get over with. Now, 3M account was a really good account. And the thing about the 3M account is they were desperate for drivers because up until that point, hazmat was one of the most required things for every driver to have. And then all of a sudden, the industry changed when, you know, 9/11 new laws were coming into effect. And what ended up happening? A lot of hazmat rules changed, and so everybody didn't end up needing hazmat. And that's when they slowly introduced the background check with hazmat. So, because basically the government realized that, you know, it's millions of truckers that have hazmat, and we need to background check all of them. This is going to be expensive. These trucking companies need to pay for this, you know, not these drivers. And so that was kind of when the dispute really basically happened. And the companies were like, we ain't paying $100 for these drivers, you know. So that was a little thing in the industry. But basically the resolution was companies moved the restriction of hazmat. So I was one of the few drivers who still had hazmat. So I ended up on the 3M account with Andrew. It was great. I mean, we were moving hard. He was making anywhere from $800 to $1,200 a week. The dude was just spending money crazy at McDonald's and a bunch of other, you know, spending money on his woman all the time and basically draining himself dry. And it was the dumbest thing I had ever seen. Because it's like, I'm sorry. She wasn't that great looking. She wasn't a bad person, but she wasn't that great looking. You know, I mean, to spend that kind of money, you know, and to be broke. I mean, this dude, it made no sense. I mean, the dude had, his car insurance was cheap because he lived in the middle of nowhere, you know, but he was paying for lawyers for her son because he had kept getting out in trouble. He ended up in jail, and it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. The last crazy night, it's funny, my hours were pretty much done, right? Going through all this craziness. You know, him selling stuff, his wife arguing, threatening to shoot him, and all this shit. I get to the last day. Last 3 days with this dude. Now, what we're going to do, me and him talked about it. He's going to go to his son's birthday party when we hit back. I'm going to get in the car and go to the terminal. They're going to drop me off in Kansas City, get on a Greyhound, and take my butt to the Nevada terminal. And go get me a truck. Because back then, all the brand new truck.
Nebraska.
All of them were. And I'm like, this is dope. You know, I'm going to get me a brand new truck. Because, you know, rookies, you know, we all want brand new trucks. So, my trainer, Andrew, had a classic. He had a classic Freightliner. So, I was used to driving that thing. I was driving it pretty good. Andrew, by the way, if I didn't say it before, was a great trainer. Amazing trainer, went over every single thing, broke everything down. He was just really bad with relationships, and he kept trying to like involve me in it. Like the last student he had, he asked him to help him fight his stepson, and it's like he was dragging people into his bullshit. It was just horrible, you know. And anyway, that time ended of my horrible training story. Andrew dropped me off And at the Greyhound terminal, shook his hand, gave him, you know, his review as a trainer. He gave me my stuff, and we moved on. Any highlights with Andrew? A couple things. Me and him started to butt heads a little bit. He told me one time that, you know, he wasn't letting anybody off his truck unless he had a student to take your place because he's supposed to be running teams. because he needs all this money to pay for this girl, this woman, his wife's son's lawyers, because he was an asshole. And I don't know why you would pay for somebody's lawyers who knocked you unconscious. It just doesn't make sense to me. But he did. And it's funny, I rode by his house because I didn't hate Andrew. Andrew was not a bad person. He just had a really fucked up life. And he was dragging me into it, and I didn't appreciate the shit. So, other than that, though, he wasn't a bad person. So, me and Andrew parted our ways, and then I went to the terminal to test out. And that was the brand new truck. And so, my first truck, I won't say the number, but my first truck was a Freightliner Sentry. I went to the terminal, nervous, because remember, like I told you guys, I don't know if, well, I think I mentioned it, Andrew, even, I was the anchor guy, again, because Andrew had a problem. He couldn't drive between the hours of 3 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning. So I was driving nights, the rookie driving nights. So since I was driving all the nights, I didn't do much backing up because, again, I was the anchor guy. You know, when you run nights on a team, your goal is to get there. You know, it's to get there and get this load delivered. But I didn't do much backing up because, you know, Andrew wanted to just go back to sleep. So he'd jump out, he'd take over, back the truck in, and I would be it. I backed up maybe 2 or 3 times more. So total, if you count both my fucked up trainers, I have 6 backups with months in between. So, yeah. And so I go to take my test out with 6 backups. Now, Andrew is not very confident in me either. He's, you know, he's trying to cover himself. You know, I can't test you because he's supposed to test me. He was supposed to test me, but I can't test you because, you know, it would be a conflict of interest. And he told me, and it's like, and then when I got there, they was like, your trainer didn't test you. He was supposed to test you. And I'm like, huh? So anyway, so Andrew basically avoided because he didn't train me to back up. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So my good buddy, obviously. So my good buddy, I go to the hotel. This is what Warner used to do back then in orientation when you test it out. Go back and take, you get new CBT orders. They used to have us do paper logs to a log. This is the part I love. And I just want to get you guys in this moment. I want to get you in ball crushing moment. We have this log book and you have to learn how to do paper logs. And I learned how to do paper logs. I learned how to do paper logs and I did them every day faithfully. Faithfully. Every single day. I called logs specifically when I got to the main terminal. So I made sure I got my logs sent to me. And I made sure that I had every single thing in my logs correct. And I was missing one day. And so I went over that day. And then I made sure everything matched up. I mean, I put some effort into these logs. And then I went to see my student driver manager. My student driver manager looked at my log book, said, yep, it looks like you did what you were supposed to do, and tossed it in the fucking trash. Do you understand that? You understand? Do you know how long? It's 160 hours of logging paper logs. I went every day and did it. I checked over it. This thing was immaculate. It was perfect. It had all the information, and she didn't even look through it. She just, like, you know how you take a deck of cards and you grab the edge and you just let them flitter down, right? You just kind of, shuffle them and you just kind of let them slide down. That's all she did. Like, you take a book and you just take it apart and let the pages come down. And then she went to the last page and said, yep, this looks right. She looked at maybe one page and then grabbed it and threw it in the trash. Just threw it in the trash. And I went, okay. Because right now, I want to jump up and strangle a bitch. I was, Oh man, I was so worried about that logbook because it was oh, if you don't know how to do paper logs, oh, we're not gonna pass you. Oh, we're not gonna do anything. Oh, and then she just takes it, looks at it, and tosses it in the trash. They told us they were gonna make a record of it. They were gonna put it in a record book, and it was gonna be there to prove that we did this and that. Man, that shit went in the trash. Anyway, I get there. She tells me, okay, after I pass my driver's test, which I did pass, by the way. How did I pass my driver's test? Simple. I knew how to drive. Because the one lucky thing that happened on my driver's test is that we didn't go to a dock to do the backing. What we did do, though, is we went to a drop lot, and he made us back up in there. And that was perfect. And at this point, this guy, he was a safety. This is an old school safety cat. Because when he saw I had difficulty backing up, he said, "All right, just don't worry about the test. Don't worry about the fuck the test. Just get it in the hole. So show me you know what you're doing." And I got it in the hole. Took me a minute, but I got it in there. And he was like, "Okay, you know what you're doing. You just got some difficulty. Let me put you in the backup class. I'll be teaching it." You know? And he put me in the backup class, and that was it. He passed my test, you know? And that's how they used to do it back in the day. I mean, it was more about whether you could drive. You know, with all these rules and, you know, these are old school drivers. You know, can you drive this motherfucker? Can you keep control of this motherfucker? Can you back this motherfucker up? That's how they would put it. You know, that's how the old school boys, forgive my language, but that's how the old school truckers would put it. Because they didn't look for all this fancy. You know, oh, can you 45 degree? Can you parallel park? Can you? No, it was like, boy, can you back this motherfucker up? Can you keep it under control? If it take you 73 times to get that motherfucker in that hole, that's how many times it take. You know, and that's how they was. You know, that's how the old school cats was, you know. So anyway, I did a backup class. I did everything, and I got my first truck. Brand new Freightliner Century, right? I don't think anything else happened eventful at that point. Andrew's next student, was a nightmare. He pretty much told Andrew from the beginning, "Hey man, you ain't gonna tell me how to drive. I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do. You don't like it, you can send me back to the terminal, bitch." Literally told him that to his face. So Andrew, of course, having the anger management, they got into it immediately several times. I mean, arguing back and forth. He wrote Andrew horrible reviews and everything else. I did not necessarily give Andrew the greatest review either. He might have had the greatest review in his hand, but he didn't get it. But yeah. I knows how to be a son of a bitch too. But yeah, and after that, he was basically thrown out of the training program, which is what should have happened with that kind of drama and bullshit. Why didn't I call the district dispatch managers? Because I didn't even know the student driver managers. I know some of y'all asking that question because I didn't know. This is why I tell you guys to find these things out. This is why I wrote my book and put it up on YouTubeTruckers.com so you have this information so you know. Right, because I didn't know. You know, I figured once you got a trainer, that was it. You know, it's supposed to be that way. Anyway, so I got my Freightliner Century, got my first load. Struggled to back it up. It was in the tightest lot ever in existence. I mean, it was basically a maybe four car lot sideways, and I had a bunch of tires. So, I've never talked about this. First, I got my new truck, right? And the way Warner did it was, once you get your truck, drive your truck over to the hotel, get your stuff out of the hotel, put it in your truck. You are now Warner truck driver, a qualified driver, right? So I'm proud. I got my badge on. My truck got it smelling brand new. It's got plastic all on the seats. I'm on a dedicated account going to Canada every day. Back then, you didn't need a passport. You didn't need anything. All you needed was a driver's license. You could go straight to Canada every day. And I used to do it, boy. But, and I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to do this. So I pull up in the lot. I'm idling my truck. And I don't know what I was doing wrong, but it kept cutting off. So I'm like, oh, maybe I need to bump it up. So I bump it up to 1,200 RPMs, which was a bit high. But I bump it up. And I was thinking, man, it's probably pretty high. So I say, you know what, I'm just come back to the truck after the sun goes down. So I go into the terminal, go hang out in the lounge and talk shit with the drivers. I come back, and, I start the truck up about an hour. I start the truck up and cool it off. Then I go back inside, and I did bump it up then too. So I say, well, it's no big deal. What I didn't know, what I was so stupid about, is the truck was registering that it was moving the whole time. I don't know why. For some reason, when I bumped it up, it did that. I think the RPMs were obviously tied into the old school motion sensor. So my Freightliner Sentry says I've been moving for, I think it was 13 hours. So I come back to the truck. I'm like, holy crap. It says I've been moving for 13 hours. What the hell is going on? So I call I call Logs, and Logs is like, well, you've been moving for 13 hours. I said, no, I haven't. I've been sitting here at the terminal. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. Right. The computer says that you've been moving for 13 hours. You will have to do a restart. Bye. So now I have to call my new dispatcher and tell him that there's no way they're going to make me do a restart. And she's like, okay, well, I can't give you this load that we have for you to get home. So we're going to have to do this other load, and you're going to have to do this tire load. So I go to this tire load. This tire load is in a really tight place, and I can barely back this truck up. I mean, I am struggling my ass off. I'm doing everything I can think of. I'm getting out the truck and looking. I mean, I sat out there for a good 30, 40 minutes and cannot get this trailer. I got the trailer to the point where it was on the dock, but I couldn't get it flush with the dock. So it was literally a foot, excuse me, on the right side. So the guy who used to drive for Warner, he goes, man, you did it, you know, I mean, maybe you need to go back and give him that truck and tell him you need to work on your back it up. I looked at that motherfucker like, that ain't happening. Shit. So I just kept doing it, man. And that's how I learned back up, how to back up. But I turned around and took off from there. Went to the next place. By the way, I don't know how to read directions at this point. I'm struggling to read directions. I'm writing them down. I'm calling the places to get directions because I don't know how to read them on the Qualcomm because my trainer never taught me. He was a good trainer, though. I mean, he taught me everything else. But, you know, again, that's what happens when you're the anchor guy and you get two directions at night to hold the load down. So, anyway, I'm learning. You know, I'm learning as I'm going. And I go and I pick up my first load. Goes from Nebraska, the main terminal, all the way to Quebec, Canada. Good load, by the way. Good load. So I start out and I drive that load from there all the way to Quebec, Canada. And that is when shit got real. So talk to you guys later. Truckdriver101.com.